and we are honored and excited as well to have a gentleman by the name of Gabriel Ayala, who is a classical guitarist who was named the Native American Music Awards Artist of the Year for 2011, actually for his album Passion, Fire, and Grace, and he joins us from his home near Tucson. Gabriel, thanks very much for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you being here. Now, first of all, when was the, this is the Native American Music Awards, and when were those held?
The Native American Music Awards were held on October 7th in Niagara Falls, New York.
Okay, and if I read this correctly, you have won three categories for 3 years in a row: Best Instrumental, Best World Music, and Best Artist of the Year. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's a great feeling. I'm very, very honored and flattered that people keep voting for me.
We, Buck, my co-host and I, thought maybe they should just rename the award, the Ayala Awards, and be done with it.
Nice. I should appreciate the support.
Now, how do you get nominated for the award, Gabriel?
You know, what's it called? It's a submission process, and once everybody is submitted in these categories, then the general public goes in and votes.
I see.
And I think, I don't know how many exactly were an Artist of the Year. I would imagine at least 60 or so were up for, you know, being submitted in there. And from there, it dwindled down to five.
Uh-huh.
And I was one of the five. And then luckily, I was voted, you know, for Artist of the Year.
Well, that's amazing. Congratulations.
Oh, no, of course. Thank you.
Now, reading about you and your biography is also fascinating. As I understand it, it was your grandmother who first gave you the gift of music. And can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. No, I was raised by my grandmother as a child, and she just wanted me to have that opportunity of music. And it wasn't until I played many instruments before the guitar. I was playing piano and saxophone and percussion and all these kind of stuff, cello. And it wasn't until I was about the age of 15 that I actually received my first guitar. And once I received it, I was just instantly attached to it, you know, and in the sense I was just more or less addicted to playing music, and just knew I never wanted to give it up.
Now, when you say that your grandmother gave you this gift, was she very musical herself?
You know, not at all.
Oh, really?
You know, nobody in my family. I have 16 aunts and uncles on my maternal side, and on my paternal side, 11 aunts and uncles, and over 100 first cousins. And in my family, there's nobody that really plays a musical instrument except for myself, which is really, really odd, you know. But she just wanted to give me that opportunity, and I'm very fortunate that she did. And like I said, it was actually my mother who gave me my guitar, my first guitar.
Huh.
And I didn't play it for a year. And finally,
really?
A year later, picked it up and strummed it after putting on new strings and thought, wow, this is what I've been waiting for. And ever since then, I've just been, you know, full-blown, you know, on playing music and on playing, you know, classical guitar.
Now, I read also that you, in fact, you have, you perform and tour now extensively, but that you have also been a teacher of music on all educational levels from the elementary through college, and that you were, in fact, see if I've got this right now, the youngest adjunct faculty member ever at Texas A&M at the age of 19. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
How did you become a professor member at age 19?
Well, you know, the story is I showed up to Texas A&M, and in high school, you know, I was a pretty good guitar player, I thought anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went into audition, they said, you know, you're good, but you're not good enough to be a music major. And I said, wow, that's pretty disappointing. They said, you can be a music education, but not music performance. We don't think that you'll be a good performer.
Really?
So that really just, you know, grew inside me, and I was like, I have to prove them wrong, because this is what I want to do for my life. So I used to practice, you know, 10, 12 hours a day. That's all I did. You know, I didn't drink, didn't smoke, you know, never touched drugs. And again, like I said, my only addiction was music. So just practiced like crazy. And by the end of that semester, I met with my committee, with my jury, and they said, you know, you've come so far. You know, I think it's time for you to go back and now be a music performance major. And of course, I was young. I was 18. I was cocky. I was angry. I said, you know what? I told you guys that 5 months ago. And I walked off stage and I said, oh my goodness, I could lose my scholarship. I better walk back out and apologize. And you know, I was very fortunate that they kind of laughed. You know, they liked my passion about it. And they very nicely said, don't ever do that again. And I said, I promise not to do that again. And, you know, I moved forward in the following year. I was then hired to then be an adjunct faculty member. They needed another guitar instructor. And just hired me out of the blue. So it was kind of crazy because I would go to some of my classes and I would be, you know, I would have my professors there, and yet I was going to faculty meetings and calling them by first name. It was really weird.
But
it was a great experience for me, you know, to teach in the actual collegiate level. But I've worked there. I've worked in middle school. I've worked in high school, you know, what's called elementary, special needs.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done it all, and so there it is.
Interesting. Now you said something that struck me, and you said earlier that you got at age 15 you got your first guitar, started playing it about a year later, but when you got to college, you knew what you wanted to do. You knew that you when you first started playing the guitar, when you realized, oh my gosh, this is what I've been waiting for. Did you know then I want to be a performer? That's what I want to do.
You know, what's it called? About 5 months after I started playing guitar, I gave my first recital at in college, and there was maybe, I don't know, 500-600 people there, and I was nervous as heck backstage. I was like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen if I go out there? If I fail, what happens if I walk out there and trip and I fall down? People are going to laugh at me. You know, all of these nerves. And then I walked out on stage and I heard the applause, and I was like, hey, that's cool. Sounds good. You know, they're not laughing at me yet. Okay, let me go ahead and, you know, let me go ahead and start playing and see what their thoughts are. And I finished my song, and they just screamed like crazy. And I was like, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I want to do in life. Like I said, I was instantly addicted. The being on stage was my home, and it still is. Every time I'm backstage, you know, it's not nerves. It's just this and anticipation of hurrying up and wanting to get back up on stage one more time to share music. So I can't wait. You know, it'll be 15 till, and I'll be like, you know, let's just start early. And they're like, no, well, we can't, you know, because the concert doesn't start till 7:30. And it's like, don't worry about it. You know, I'll go ahead and play an extra hour long if you guys want, you know. And they're like, really? And I'm like, of course.
Now, we were lucky enough to have you because apparently the kind of confusion, get one of your CDs, but you sent us three MP3 recordings, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, these are all off your Passion, Fire, and Grace CD. And what I'd like to do is play a little bit of one of them, and then we'll talk some more, and then maybe play a little bit of some of the other one. But what should I start out with? Let's see, we've got Tre Notas and La Isla, and also Passion, Fire, and Grace.
Sure, let's go ahead and start off with Passion, Fire, and Grace. I wrote this song just to kind of hopefully evoke these emotions within the CD. You know, again, you know, a very passionate CD, you know, where people could really feel, you know, the soul of the music coming in, but then the fire, you know, of just, you know, the strumming. I call my musical genre jazzmanco. It's a fusion of jazz and flamenco, and then the gracefulness, hopefully, you know, because of my playing. And went from there, and it was a song that I wrote and decided to just, you know, title the CD Passion, Fire, and Grace.
Okay, and this is Gabriel Ayala, Passion, Fire, and Grace.
Thank you.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much.
That is beautiful. Now, okay, Jazzmenko, when did you first start to develop that style, bringing those two styles together?
You know, probably about 3 years ago, I was listening to some jazz. You know, as a classical musician, you know, we're taught that all we can do is just play those little black dots on a sheet of paper. And I really hate, you know, being limited, you know, and being put in a box. And I just started listening to a lot of jazz and just really enjoyed, you know, the actual freedom that jazz musicians had, you know, just being able to improvise. You know, once they play the melody or what they call the hook, then they just play whatever they feel. And I was like, wow, I'm so envious of that. You know, and then I started listening to a bunch of flamenco music, and I said, wow, listen to that passion that they have in there, you know, the excitement, you know, and I was thinking, wow, classical music, you know, lacks both that feel. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I really want to try to offer something new to the guitar. Maybe I can do that. And I thought, it's pretty bold of me, but I'm going to try it anyway, and hopefully somebody will like it. And I just started, you know, what's called trying to fuse both of those genres together. And it's really caught on. There's tons of people all over the world that are now, you know, using the actual term Jazzmenko. And it's actually associated, you know, with me and this new genre that I've created.
Interesting.
And I'm going to be releasing a CD in the spring entitled Jazzmenko.
Now, you said you wrote that. That was Passion, Fire, and Grace, which is the title of the CD, your most recent CD, I think, and the one that you won the Artist of the Year for. Do you write most of your stuff, Gabriel?
You know, I sure do. I have tons of songs that I've written. This new CD, Jazzmenko, is going to probably be about 90% of my own original compositions. But I always put at least maybe one or two, you know, covers on there, just so people can see my interpretation of other people's music. And plus, I really admire, you know, some of these composers.
Interesting. Of course, I suppose if you're kind of developed your own genre, you're going to have to write some of your own music because it obviously hasn't been done before.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you see, and obviously you in your career, and when we talk to other musicians, the same thing happens. They kind of evolve from one style to another style. Obviously, you've moved from the classical and developed your own style with this Jazzmenko. Is this something that you feel is going to continue to happen, some kind of evolution with your music?
Well, you know, I still play classical music every day, and in my concerts, I still include, you know, classical compositions. So it isn't like I just kind of, you know, left everything, you know, as far as my background, you know, my as far as my foundation goes. I am still, you know, a classical musician. I just happen to branch out into, you know, this new genre, you know, for the time being. But classical is still something that I am very passionate about, and I still do concerts that way. But I think there is always going to be an evolution of music as you grow older, you know, the sounds that you hear, and you know, that style just kind of becomes your own. And, you know, hopefully Jazzmenko will still continue to grow and grow.
Yeah. We are visiting with Gabriel Ayala, who is a classical guitarist. He is also a developer of a genre called Jazzmenko. Now, as I understand it, Gabriel, you started your own record label, Desmas. I don't know if I think I pronounced that correctly. Yeah, Desmas Records.
Exactly, Desmas.
Desmas, sorry.
Yes, it's my own label. I'm going to be my first artist. I am releasing my first CD. I was hoping to do it December 1st, but you know what? I've been traveling so much and touring all over Canada that I haven't had time to actually record the CD. So my new projected date is January 1st. I'm going to start the year off with a bang, with a brand new CD. And it's, you know, I'm going to be the first artist on my label, and then I'm going to start recording other native artists.
I was just going to ask, are you going to have a native focus with your label?
Yeah, you know, I think it's inevitable that, you know, as a native person, you know, I'm going to want to help out, you know, other native people, but I don't want to limit it, you know, to where eventually it's just going to grow into a music label. But right off the bat, you know, there are some artists that have already been contacting me that want me to actually produce, you know, their next CD project. So I'm going to start serving that role as well, you know. So that's a really cool thing.
What compare the challenges to performing writing music and performing, being an artist, to that of being on the other side and being the corporate executive of your own label, so to speak.
It's a totally different thing, you know. But fortunately for myself, you know, I've realized that, you know, in this industry, you have to be well-rounded in both. You just can't be, you know, a musician and think that you're going to be successful. You know, you have to know the actual business aspects of it, mm-hmm. as well, and know the inner workings of what it takes to actually maintain a career. And because of that, I've actually started my own consulting firm as well, you know, to actually, you know, take under, you know, native clients, so I can then help them, you know, evaluate of what it what they actually need to do to go ahead and, you know, continue to have a career.
Sure.
And so again, I'm really spreading into all aspects of music, you know, from recording to being an artist to being a consultant, every aspect of it. And I really have a passion for every one of them, you know, so it's not like I'm doing one of them just to survive. I'm doing it because I really enjoy doing it.
And sounds like as a way to help other native artists.
Oh, of course. Return.
Yeah, that's
of
great.
Of course. Yeah,
that's
you
great.
Betcha.
Now, if first of all, I want to let folks know we've been visiting with Gabriel Ayala, who recently, for the third year in a row, won the Native American Music Awards as Artist of the Year. Gabriel, if people want to find out more about you, about your music and so forth, have you got a website that they can check out?
Oh, most definitely. They can go to ayalaguitarist.com. That's ayalaguitarist.com. So ayalaguitarist.com. There's musical samples there, and they can get a link to my YouTube channel, Facebook, you know, LinkedIn, everything, all on that homepage.
Great. Thank you so much for visiting with us this evening. Congratulations again on the award, on the new record label, and all the rest of it. And with your permission, we're going to go out with another one of your tunes.
That sounds fabulous. I much appreciate your time.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.